Oh my goodness, I could listen to Mongo Santa Maria every day, all day. That's him and his band with his 1962 version, no, 1968 version of the original tune by Booker T and the MGs. And that's phenomenal. Of course, you can't mess up either one. Take your pick. But even open yourself to just listening to both. Alternate. You'll feel happy. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. Oh, yes, the name of the tune is Green Onions. It's a classic. But this one by Mongo Santa Maria really gets me going. Well, we are anticipating an even greater hit later today. In the form of Hurricane Harvey. I resent that, calling our favorite listener Harvey and putting him as a hurricane. Well, maybe he is in a way. And of course, it makes me remember my favorite dog, Harvey, back in Brooklyn. But we are already seeing signs. It's raining very heavily. We're getting lightning a little bit and thunder, of course, it goes along with lightning. And we are supposed to get ready for even heavier rain and flooding and all the things that go with that later on. But the target later today, it is already a Category 2 storm in Texas, but later on it's supposed to go way higher. And Texas is going to be bearing the brunt of this bad weather. But we keep going. That's the secret of life. Just keep going. Just keep going. How are you out there? Today is, of course, Friday, Free Your Mind Friday. And your thoughts and opinions are what matter. So 888-874-4888 is the number to call to get things started. We're looking for your very thoughtful presentations, reacting to the week's events and other things that we've discussed this week on Free Your Mind Friday. We have to depend on each other for some kind of balance, and to find out really from what you're thinking whether we seem to be on the right track. Whatever you're thinking is perfectly legitimate, but share it because you may have a perspective that will bring us along in seeing critical issues of the day from an entirely different perspective. You may be the one to set us straight. So 888-874-4888 is the number to call to initiate peer-to-peer education. Well, we have Marie from Baltimore already there. Hello, Marie.
Hello, Trish. Thank you for taking my call. Excuse me
Thank
for
you.
calling you again, but you touched my heart deeply Thursday when you talked about an older woman, I believe, was cutting open the best part of a tomato. I'm a much older woman than you are, Trish. And when I was in elementary school living in the projects, my grandmother and I walked to a food warehouse, which was a large place. There wasn't any windows. I don't remember going to it in the daytime, but we went at night, and she showed me a few elderly African Americans carefully cutting vegetables and fruit outside of a barrel of unwanted food that the warehouse didn't want. Grandmother had a reason for showing me these people, and they were poor. And I think she was trying to teach me one thing, to appreciate the food that I eat at home, because I come from a single mom. And back then, in those days, before you were born, excuse me, people...
You know, I'm quite ancient.
Oh, no. You're young. People ate chicken on Sundays, and I believe those chickens were fresh. And my last statement is, money determines what you will eat. You know, if you can't pay for more expensive food, then you maybe go to McDonald's. Maybe you have some things to say about that. And but I enjoyed your talk. You sounded like somebody I know when they're angry. That's all I have to say, and have a good day.
Well, thank you. And I will concede you are right. I was angry. And
yes.
I get angry because the solutions are right within our grasp. And I can't figure out why we can't get, you know, move along on the plane of progress and get some basic things solved, that they're quite solvable. But for the life of me, they just won't solve these things.
Well, I think in part due to the people we have in this country, the leaders and what else, the population of this country. And I don't know what it is that's stopping people to not do anything. I did hear about some group that's going to be organized in November to get Trump and Pence out. I don't know what they're going to do or when. I don't know the name of the group. That's all I have to say, dear. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your call today. And looky here, Harvey from Berkeley. Harvey, how do you feel that they've named a hurricane after you? What do you think of that?
Well, I think I appreciate it because, you know, I've always fought against the Trump administration, which I feel are a wholly owned subsidiary of the fossil fuel companies, and they're responsible for climate baking and destabilization, which includes larger hurricanes, stronger tornadoes, floods, droughts, out of control forest fires, etc. So I hope that this is a reminder to everybody that the Trump administration is not on our side and they're doing America and the world wrong by backing coal and all the fossil fuels and moving away from new renewable energy. And also the thing is that another thing that's happening is that in Berkeley, you know, which is a bastion of liberal inclusiveness, the alt-right is going to have a meeting in the park on Sunday here, and our mayor has told everybody to be very careful because these people are actually dangerous. There's one guy who has been spotted by the police, and he carries a kind of a cane or a stick that he's filled with lead, and they like to hit people. So it's terrible. Now, I feel that the Trump administration actually, and Trump himself, should be impeached because it's unconscionable, his slow response to the alt-right. And I also believe that I wouldn't be surprised if Bannon and the BART, the Breitbart organization are behind this. And what President Trump has done is as he's put our first responders in harm's way. Now, I know that, you know, that we always get reports of policemen shooting people and doing the wrong thing, but I believe that the greater amount of our policemen and our fire department are good people, and they're here to protect us. And because Trump has in a sense given the nod to all these neo-Nazi and fascist groups, he's put these, you know, when there's a riot or something, it's the first responders, it's the policemen and the firemen who rush in. And so he's put our first responders in harm's way. And I believe that alone is grounds for impeachment. And I think that a lot of the alt-right, they're actually abused people. They're most probably abused in their youth, and they're always looking to vent their anger. And these venues are perfect, you know. And so I think that instead of focusing on climate destabilization that the Trump administration is using. Well, first they use the bombing of North Korea, or the North Korea is going to come and get you, and now they're using the outright. And the concept is be afraid, be very afraid, but it's a perfect distraction, and the fossil fuel industry loves it because we aren't looking at their climate baking and destabilization that they're creating, which I can think is actually the real enemy of us and the world at large. So I basically am calling for the impeachment of President Trump for putting our first responders in harm's way.
Well, let me ask you, Hurricane Harvey has already begun to make its presence felt. Do you think that this is an unusual event, or do you think this is just the normal course of things?
I think it's growing because, you see, what the main source of pollution, especially with fossil fuels, is carbon dioxide and methane. And what they do, these are considered greenhouse gases. And what they do is they capture the sun's infrared light and they turn it into heat. And as the atmosphere heats up, it evaporates more water from our oceans, lakes, and rivers, and this creates more moisture in the air. And, you know, when you put a pot on a burning stove full of water and you turn up the heat, it starts moving around faster and faster and boiling up. Well, that's what's happening with our atmosphere. So we're getting bigger and bigger hurricanes, bigger tornadoes, more droughts, climate destabilization, and it's all due to this continuous use of fossil fuels, which if he was a real leader, he would actually help us move away from all that to help slow the planet, to slow the heating of our planet. But no, he's working with the fossil fuel industries. They want to develop more coal, more everything. They want to do offshore drilling and fracking for oil and methane, both on the East Coast and the West Coast and in the Arctic. And so it's really the worst thing that could possibly happen. And I feel that this Hurricane Harvey is a sign of things to come, and the hurricanes will get bigger. And until we wake up and realize that we have renewable energy. I think it's important for everybody to reduce their carbon footprint as much as possible, because the government isn't doing it, to buy solar panels and put it on their houses and buildings, buying new electric cars as much as we can to slow this climate change for the worst, because the Trump administration is just, they're bought and owned by the fossil fuel companies. And I say, where's the profit in a burnt out planet?
So people like you, who are very active in the environmental world, what on a day like this, and probably even tomorrow, on a day like this, what are you looking for? Where is your attention cast?
Well, being here in Berkeley, you know, in the next couple of days, there's going to be all this tension from the march of the neo-Nazis through Berkeley. But I feel my heart goes out to the people of America and the world who are going to suffer from this climate destabilization, from this climate baking. And I pray that we make a move as soon as possible to move away from fossil fuels, which are turning the planet into a fossil, and move toward renewable energy, which will help us, our children, and future generations survive so that we can still be comfortable on our home planet.
Well, thank you, Harvey, for calling in today. You always have something worthwhile to share, and today is no exception.
Thank you, Trish.
Our thoughts are with you, too. So our thoughts are with each other. That's great. Thanks. Patricia from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice, and good afternoon to the PRN family.
I'm happy to
hear that you are recovering and you are doing really, really well.
I'm hanging in.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that because we treasure you.
Thank you so much. Same
here. I listened to the program yesterday, and it was actually quite prophetic, because my son and I had the exact same discussion the night before. And the reason we had had that discussion the night before was because, as you know, there were two rallies, one in Atlanta and one in New York, for Colin Kaepernick on Wednesday evening. And I attended the Colin Kaepernick rally here in New York. And so my son and I had this very discussion about the fact that as African Americans, as black and brown people, we really don't have a leadership, and so we really have to save ourselves. And as I listened to you yesterday, the anger that you felt was absolutely palpable. And the only solution that I have is that we have to educate our people. And the only way to do that is to somehow get them away from what they're listening to right now. And I'll give you a perfect example. You've heard me talk in the past about how on Sunday mornings I always wake up and try to avail myself of these radio stations in New York. I get on and I try to impart as much information as I have. Well, now I can't even get on the stations anymore. The mantra to me now is that they want to hear from new listeners, i.e., I've been blackballed. I can't even get on anymore. And so, yeah, and I, you know what, well, I'll tell you, that was very disturbing to me because not everybody knows, but here in New York, back in the 80s, the station that I'm talking about, actually, this particular program came into being around the plight of seven young men who were accused of raping and attacking a jogger here in New York in Central Park. And so this particular program was galvanized around that, and a lot of people of my generation supported that radio station. So to see now 30 years later, I can't even get on the very radio station, the very program that I assisted in getting on is really, really, really disappointing. And it just goes to show that there is, even on black radio, there is a template that if you don't say the right thing, you just will not be heard. And so we have to develop and support campaigns to get more people to PRN, because our people will continue to be at a loss if they're getting bad information. You know, the misinformation of the Negro by Carter G. Woodson, and that's what's happening on Sunday mornings.
The miseducation. I want to ask, you've been listening to radio in New York City for a long time. You have been sensing this shift, and now it is undeniable, you say. What, in as much as if this were a white station, let's say, and you have the same thing going on, what would you have recommended as a way to address the situation?
Well, I can tell you what I've done in the past, because this is not the first episode experience that I've had with this particular program, and I actually reached out to the program director and had some success. And I'm going to reach out to the program director again. I may not have any success this time. But the other thing that I have done is that I've shared this information within my circle and hope that it'll expand to wider circles.
But what do you suspect is happening? Why would a station literally born out of struggle, and one would assume would have a natural empathy to a community that still struggles, why would they behave this way, and why would they think that it is okay?
Well, you know, unfortunately, I truly believe that in the same way that black and brown elected officials are controlled, so are they. You know, black radio stations, as we know, have a hard time staying on the air. And it's really interesting in terms of the composition of the hosts of this particular program. The one host that was truly providing a lot of germane information is the one who was let go a couple of years ago. And the two that remain, you know, I have said to them, you know, what you're talking about, the way the Sunday morning program is designed, rather than discuss in an analytical way what is transpiring, they react to things. They react rather than discuss and analyze and then strategize as to how we can address our own plight. And so in the same way, as I said, in the same way as black and brown politicians are controlled, so are they. And I think we just have to accept that, you know, they're not independent, they can't be independent, and they won't be independent.
Well, that is true throughout the world of black media. There have been changes that are attached to all kinds of situations, all kinds of conditions. Number one is that the pool of listeners or readers or viewers has diminished. And some firm or firms given the task of analyzing why the shift has occurred, they have come up with the idea that you change your formatting in order to attract a new demographic, and that new demographic will excite advertisers, and therefore the advertising base will grow and their revenues will grow. To people who are experiencing distress, well, there you go. There's a solution. That's what we need to do. But they try that, and then we get what you've just told us. We get dissatisfaction, extreme dissatisfaction in some cases, among their customer base, if I could use that phrase. And secondly, we have the acute desire in black media, period. We have this extraordinary need to be seen as part of the American mainstream, to be seen as part of the American mainstream in terms of thought, and the willingness of owners to guide their institutions in a particular way which enhances their case before advertisers. That too they have traded off. There was a period, as you may remember, in the so-called the strident civil rights era, the black press, was at the forefront. And that has been the history of the black press in whatever form it existed, but mostly in newspapers. And the government moved on them. And sometimes they moved on themselves, thinking that, well, at least we could distinguish ourselves from the herd by showing our willingness to go along with the program. And it was amazing how quickly things deteriorated. So in one sense, the black press is a victim of the generic racism that everybody could tell you about in the media. But in a larger sense, they're responsible for surrendering and, catering to an oppressive system by trying to show how willing they are to lend their effort to the status quo. They don't even have to bash them. They understand. They're coming. They're surrendering en masse sometimes. And then they have these conventions and the meetings in which they convince themselves they're doing the right thing and would not want to hear from people like me, because I'll chew them out in a minute. And I have, in print, in writing, and on the air, and on television. The greatest agent of change, I contend, in this country, one of the greatest agents of change has been the black press. And they put and kept there at the forefront, front and center of our attention nationally and internationally, this struggle that we still continue to have over justice and equality. But they've fallen down on the job. It's their own fault. And they think that that's the way to make money and get ahead and stay alive. No, it isn't. The community has lost faith in the black press because they see so many times that when we look for resolution or we look for strength and we look for some kind of principled struggle, we can't find it. It's not there. And at the same time, I readily concede how important it is to have these things proceed in their historic role as the being in the forefront of leadership on questions that have changed the entire country and in some cases the entire world. It was the black press that talked about how black soldiers were treated. It was the black press that opened up the country's knowledge of conditions in this country that would shame any country pretending to be progressive. It was a black press that explained the coming, the coming dissent, the consequences of it that would hurt everybody. The black press urged, and that's why it was formed. It was formed by John Russworm. I mean, it was formed by preachers. By preachers. And they saw back then the need for some avenue that people would have access to. We have had incredible stars coming. When I say stars, I don't mean like Hollywood, but I mean really distinguished people putting their energy into advocacy through the black press. And thereby creating an awareness and thereby creating a solidarity among black people that they didn't have before. So I honor the black press, but I also believe it is now at a stage where if only for shame to really pick up the standard and run again.
Yeah, at all levels, you don't have principled people anymore, anyone with principles or ethics or love for black and brown people, and that's what was our success in the past. Everybody was operating out from the same truth and operating on behalf of black people.
I agree with you there. I certainly do. Well, thanks for touching base with us and keeping us in mind in terms of our informational needs and to keep us pointed.
Have a good weekend.
On point. Thank you so much, Patricia. Veronica from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good day. How are you, Yatrice, my love?
I'm hanging in there. How are you?
All right, taking it one day at a time.
we can't have too large a crowd in this circle here where we have everybody we talk to says, well, I'm hanging in there. Well, we got to change that.
Well, 7 days a week I'm out here trying to do what I can. I was also at the Kaepernick. And then when it started getting political and people like Hazel Dukes got up there, I had to leave. Oh. I wasn't for the nonsense. You understand?
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Before you go a minute further, could you give us a briefing from your perspective, from your specific perspective, what is this Kaepernick issue about?
Okay. For me, it is, as was said, it is not specifically about Kaepernick, as he himself knows. He did it for the poor community from which he came. He could have just taken his money and went along to get along. But he chose to do as you, myself, and others, to stand for the injustices that are going on around the world. For instance, Thursday you mentioned 100,000 children not having food. Flint will be going on its second year of dirty water, while every golf hole that number 45 has gets water, clean water. Now, whether it's the people in Syria, New Orleans, New Jersey, Baltimore that are still receiving dirty water, you know, it's coming. Wherever there is an Amazon, that becomes a community that will have dirty water eventually. So number 45 is calling out Amazon, and Amazon is trying to call, but they're both doing the same thing. The poor people are suffering, and if there are 100,000 children that are homeless in New York, the state, then that's how many families, you know, and these are, it's all interrelated, because if the landlords are putting people on the street or putting the elderly in a shelter, they either end up in the street or in a shelter, which is just like a prison. They could die. They could have their lives taken in these shelters. That's how, you know, I actually went to apply for a job as a nurse. And I was warned, no, you don't want to work there, sis. You know, I was told that I could be raped or beaten for trying to work there. That is the sickness of how bad it is. So when they welcome someone like Hillary Clinton to Mega Evers and you build shelters, and I'm very angry that right now they have put Malcolm X's statue under the staircase. They have put Marcus Garvey's bus under the staircase. That is purposely done. This is the new people that are working at that college. And these are the things throughout the world that are hurting us. That's the perspective Kaepernick is coming from. We must stand. It is more of us than they are of these elected politicians and so forth. And if someone still believes in the vote, they should move every single one of them out of office, because they are doing nothing. They need fresh everything. The system is debunked, and it needs to just disappear. The people have the power to change that.
Do you think that his efforts, because I also think that people have higher expectations of the people who put themselves on the line, but after they put themselves on the line and they look around for backup, backup isn't there.
That is very true. Now, the person has to be true of heart, because some of the organizations, give me money. And then you don't see what where's the money going to fancy hotels, to things that are not benefiting the community, that are not doing the things that they say they're going to do. So if you have as a leader or person without integrity, or you have people without integrity in between, it's a lost cause as well.
So what leads you to believe that Colin Kaepernick in his current campaign is sincere and prepared to go the long haul?
Oh, well, even if he is not, he's bringing issues that needed to be addressed. There are sponsors that need to know that they should not be fed. For instance, they gave out a number and they said, everyone, I want you to call Verizon, because they have given $100 million to the CEOs of the NFL. Let's count 32 people that raised $100 million and gave it to Verizon. If by September 8th they do not rescind assisting the NFL, then we have more than 75% of their customers are black and brown people. So what we need to do is change from Verizon. That was excellent, to the point. And these are the things we have to do. There are 50 companies that we unknowingly support that are not helping the people that are poor and unemployed. And if you're unemployed, you can't even give an address to apply for a job that you're qualified for.
Well, you have a very good handle on the issue. What are you hoping, when you look at it in totality, what are you hoping will be accomplished?
I am hoping that the sponsors, not just if Kaepernick is on tomorrow, I don't want them to, I don't want the people that were there to be fooled, because we have lots of work today. That is one in 1,000 projects that need to get done. I am hoping that they continue, because it would be very easy for them to say, you know what, this is costing us more than we thought it is, so therefore, let's give him more money and, you know, more or less have them sign a contract that everybody has to shut the hell up, because they didn't even have to salute the flag before 2009. So we have to be focused on the issues, and the sponsors need to not be sponsored, whether it's Walmart, whether it's AT&T that are made by every prisoner throughout the United States, every product. They're making the phone calls for 9 cents to 99 cents an hour. So as you had a CEO on from Whole Foods that more or less said, why should I pay those people money, whereas the prisoners package and make all my things? So these are the sponsors we have to not sponsor, because Whole Foods sells things like watermelon without seeds. No such thing exists on this planet, because real fruit grows from real seeds.
Well, all right, Professor. That was some good learning there that you had us do. And I'm glad that you called and raised the issue. Thank you so much. Rachel from New York, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, Rachel.
Yes, good afternoon. Hello, Utrice and the PRN family. First-time caller.
Oh, how nice. Welcome.
I just wanted to say that I really appreciate you. I've been listening to you for years from when you was on WBAI. God bless you. And I just want to piggyback off of what your previous caller said, Patricia, and she is absolutely right, and I'm going to call them out. And I know she's referring to WBLS, and I'm going to call them out, and in particular, Open Line. And she's absolutely right. And it's unfortunate that James M. Toomey is no longer on the show, because he's the only reason why I used to listen to Open Line, because of James M. Toomey. And now that he's off the show, it seems like their message has totally gone lost in translation. But I agree with her. And we need more people like yourself and Gary Noel, and we need more people to listen to PRN, because the fact that they even took Kiss FM off the air, to me, says that they're trying to minimize the information that goes out to the black and brown communities, because they don't want us to know the truth.
Well,
and I just want to commend you and Gary Noel. Keep up the good work and keep speaking out, because we need this. And I agree with Patricia.
We need support. And by that I mean each one teach one, each one reach one. Tell people you know about this station, which is valuable to all communities. Every community that you could think of can find a reason to support PRN, because this is really the reason we exist. We exist because people have been nixing this kind of programming. There are some things that need to be seen and understood about how this this sector of media works. It's money.
Exactly.
It's money, but it is in a particular kind of money. Because when all is said and done, there is a link between information and the ability to influence people's thinking. And when you influence people's thinking, you influence the decisions that they make. And when you influence the decisions that they make, you influence how they spend their money. And when you influence how they spend their money, that's where the fight begins. And then you reverse it. If you have a pot of money, people are now going to come to you for a portion of it, and they will demonstrate, they will do their dance to impress the people with the money that they are functioning well within the circle of influence that people with money expect to have because they have money. So whereas before you would attack the government, if the people with money don't attack the government, guess what? You won't attack the government either if you want a piece of that pie.
Gotcha.
So it's been a rotten, rotten circle. But the good thing is that there are people who have been able to see the connection between the two, and they are able to sustain themselves through direct support. I know that, and I'm not talking out of turn here, I know that PRN, if it weren't for Gary just pouring his own money into the station and us working under very different kinds of conditions than which would prevail in the regular world of work, we have a vested interest in getting information out. But it is all around a major, major task. So we need support without having to ask for it. People should understand what is happening here. And we need people like you to just encourage others to listen. Encourage others to listen so that the information, it's a two-way street. It's about being financially stable to do the work. And then once the work is done, to use it, as part of your daily life, to incorporate it in your daily life.
That's
the whole challenge here.
Well, I thank you, Ms. Leed. And again, I love you and I appreciate your knowledge. And please, please keep doing what you're doing and keep speaking out. And I'm going to listen to you every day like I've been doing for years. And like I said, God bless you and I love you. And I love your show.
Thank you. I so appreciate your kind thoughts. I really do. Thank you very much. It keeps me going. That's what's been keeping me going. So I am a direct recipient of that energy, and I recognize it, and I acknowledge it all the time. Thank you so much. Well, let's have a little break here, and we'll come back and talk some more. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. This program, I'm going to do some other things with it to make it more fun. And I mean, we have to hold on to fun and laughter and humor because it's one of the best antidotes, to what is planned for us. So we got to have a sense of humor. We got to take it easy every now and then, And we've got to, you know, see how important it is to keep your mind together that way, that we don't just dwell in the land of doom and gloom, because that too is part of how we become destroyed. Everything is so serious, and everything is so immediate, and there's death and damnation everywhere. No. Keep perspective. Keep perspective. You ought to have an attitude that your strategy for living as long as you possibly can is to be able to laugh and to enjoy the life that you're trying to make, and to enjoy the process of creating the life you're trying to make, you know? I've been in the company of some folks, and I tell you, I don't even know how they live another day from day to day. And when I leave their company, I just want to go by and check out the nearest cliff to jump off of. Look, things are happening. They're very serious, but they don't become any less serious by making your life unlivable. You will be dishonoring all that has gone into bringing you here to this point. Because as rough as we think we're having it, and are in fact having it, we always have to remember we come from a long line of people who put up with much more and pull through to get us here. We're just part of the chain. And we have to account for ourselves in terms of what we have done or what we are doing to keep the struggle going, because we have a mandate, even if we don't act like it, but we have a mandate. And the mandate is to survive. And you need a well-rounded experience in life to survive. It's very, very important. We know we're all going to die, but why cooperate with that program? Don't cooperate with it. Find a way to be at peace with yourself. Find a way to give that attitude to other people. That is a gift. You see some stories and people experiencing extraordinary pain and hardship, and somehow it all goes away when they smile, because they're transmitting to you they're beyond their present condition. The idea of the enemy is to keep you riveted, obsessed with your present condition. And therefore, you lose the ability to see ahead. You lose the ability to transport your ideas ahead of chronological time. And you lose the ability to teach people. This is a tool, by the way. A tool, a survival tool. You set aside the urgency of the moment and you occupy a space that's in the future. And then you link the work that you're doing or the work that you can do or should do to what you see and have seen in the future. I don't know if it makes sense to you, but that's how I have been living all my life. Where did I get it from? I got it from my parents. You would never know, for example, sometimes my father, who was a businessman, you would never know that he was in deep crisis. You'd never know it. But that's how he proceeded all through his life. It will be solved because he has the capacity to solve it. My mother, too. I mean, you have 9 kids, and you're going through, let's say, a financial crisis with 9 children. You cannot have by your side somebody who has given up. You cannot have somebody who is weak. You cannot have somebody who offers only a more stressful picture of life. They'll kill you off. You can't survive that way. We are, as a group, as a people, this has been a constant in our lives. We have been put in dire situations, and we carry the dead weight of that every single day. Now, you're not necessarily cognizant of that. You're not necessarily aware of that. But immediately when you enter that universe, you also become dead because you become ineffective at proceeding with your program. Your program can't be about progress. It can't be about success. It can't be about having a good life when you are mired psychologically. You're mired. You're done. And then because you are so pivotal in your circle, let's say you're a parent or somebody who makes critical decisions in other people's lives, when you, as a target, because we all are, and you fade, you are imperiling the psychology of all the people who look to you, all the people who you inspire, and who in turn inspire you. So it's a two-way street. We have to support each other, and one of the most critical ways we can do that is to share our optimism about life. Okay? I just felt a need to say that. Not because of what anybody has said, but because in the course of our discussion today, it has popped up. We're talking about, let's say, Kaepernick, for example. Here's a young man who is basically risking all that he has ever had and all that he could possibly have in the future. And the last thing he needs is evidence that people don't care. He needs support. It's not money. He needs to know that there are people who get it. They understand where he is, and they understand that this is his little portion of a contribution toward progress. So that's what he needs. He needs to know we understand what he's trying to do over there, and we're very proud of him, and we support him. And you'd be surprised at how proud you would feel, not that you're just doing that, but that you are accounted for in the line of continuum. You're accounted for. You're in line right there. That's your spot. And that's why I have a hopeful spirit. And to me, the struggle is not even physical. It is about placing yourself firmly in your own vision. And when you look carefully, you see you're in line. I'm in line with my parents. I'm in line with what they taught me. And I am so happy I don't know what to do. All I'm trying to do is to stay in line, because the things that they have taught me for my own good, my own benefit. And my being in line means that I'm continuing that process and talking with others, and they talking with others. And that's how we are supposed to live. That's what brings us through. Well, thank you for listening today. We've come to the end of the program. I so enjoy talking with you. There's so much knowledge, so much intelligence out there that we could harness toward creating a better world and a better self. Stay tuned. Coming up next is Alternative Visions with Dr. Jack Rasmus. It is the weekend. Have yourselves a good one. Surround yourselves with people who add special dimension to your life, positive dimension. And then, if they don't, reach for your sneakers and run like hell away from them. We'll see each other on Monday. Bye-bye.